This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. The last time a U.S. president visited Cuba, he arrived on a battleship in the year 1928. Then came a revolution, the Cold War, the Cuban Missile Crisis, decades of estrangement between Washington and Havana. But today, on the second day of his historic visit to the Cuban capital, President Barack Obama met with Cuban President Raul Castro. The two leaders discussed the ideological differences between Cuba and the U.S. and the obstacles that remain toward restoring full diplomatic relations. Speaking in Havana a short while ago, President Obama called it a new day in the relationship between the two countries. And he said that the Cuban people will ultimately decide their own future.
The United States recognizes progress that Cuba has made as a nation. Its enormous achievements in education and in health care. And perhaps most importantly, I affirm that Cuba's destiny will not be decided by the United States or any other nation.
In a moment, we'll hear from a Massachusetts congressman traveling with the president in Cuba. But first, let's hear from Michaud Spring of Boston, part of a delegation of Cuban Americans invited by the White House to attend President Obama's speech tomorrow. She is the Boston-based global chair of the public relations firm Weber Shandwick and co-chair of the Massachusetts-based Friends of Caritas Cubana. We talked to Michaud Spring a short while ago about the historic nature of this day.
First of all, the weather is incredibly appropriate because it's the windiest day I ever remember in Havana. And you can feel it in the air that the winds of change are certainly reminding us all that what a historic moment that this is for Cuba. I mean, there's been no president from the United States here since Calvin Coolidge. And this is a moment that Cubans are just electrified by.
Yeah, I've been looking, we've all been looking at some of the pictures on the television of President Obama meeting the Cuban delegation down there. It's quite something. What are you hearing from the Cuban people about what it means to have President Obama there in Cuba? As you said, the first American president in a very long, long time.
Well, I've been amazed at the level of the powerful symbolism. For example, they're all talking this morning about the president's smile, first of all. They just have been talking about what a warm, simple, humble person this incredibly important leader of the free world is. And so they all have been talking about the fact that he put his umbrella over his wife to protect her first from the rain. The fact that he brought his family here. One taxi driver said to me, you know, only a year ago we were on the terrorist list. Now this place is good enough for the president to want to bring the first family here. What a gesture. And so they have been just noticing everything. I was at Caritas Cubana this morning, you know, the equivalent of Catholic Charities here, which we have supported for a long time. And they were talking about the symbolism of family, this being Holy Week. From a church perspective, that there's no better message than for the president to have come as a family. So they're soaking it all in, and all these years about this other image of what the American government was, all these years have been swept away by the door opening from, you know, Air Force One and this, particularly this president.
You know, it's so significant, obviously. And, you know, I can hear some excitement in your voice, Michaud. And as a Cuban-American, what does it mean to you personally this day to see this happening?
Well, it's an incredible moment. I mean, the last year I was here for the raising of the American flag. But this is different because the president personalizes so much of the American values. You know, I had the incredible privilege of being part of a Cuban-American delegation this past week to meet with the president in anticipation of the trip and discuss what he was hoping to achieve. And he said that he wanted to paint a picture of what is possible. I mean, clearly the problems of Cuba have to be solved by the Cubans, and this is a different era. And certainly his trip and everything he's done over the last 14 months has been to support and empower the Cuban people, because it is for them to decide how this should evolve.
I'm wondering, Misha, if you could tell me something about, to the extent that there have been protests down there. I mean, I know that some folks in Cuba are concerned that this might have happened too soon, too quickly. What kind of protests are you hearing about from Cubans?
Well, of course, we're not seeing the protests, but, you know, I know that on both sides, I know that there certainly is part of the leadership here, and it's been well reported, thinks that Raul Castro has gone too far and been too friendly, just like we have members of Congress that think that the president has gone too far. And I think that they're moving forward knowing that this is not unanimous among either government. And so I think that the president's been courageous in acting as boldly as he has, in spite of the fact that there's opposition in Congress. And there's a big congressional delegation here, so clearly that is changing in the U.S. government. But, you know, lifting the embargo would be the ultimate way to really empower this people-to-people exchange. And certainly, you know, there's as much resistance here among the older generation of Cuban leaders as there is in our Congress.
And talk a little bit more about that, lifting the embargo. I can imagine that you must be hearing from lots of Cubans about how important that would be in terms of changing their life in significant ways.
Yeah, I mean, it's not only the embargo. The president has taken many measures, and we're waiting for the Cuban government to also respond in kind. And there's lots of discussion about unifying the currency and lifting other restrictions that are going to be helpful. And I think, you know, on both sides, clearly there needs to be some give. So it's not only the embargo, although the embargo is incredibly important.
Mm. I'd like to ask you a little bit about Weber Shandwick. You're down there to establish one of the first American marketing service and global public relations offices in Havana with Weber Shandwick. You know, these are two countries that are still divided politically and economically with two very different systems. What challenges does that pose for a company like Weber Shandwick, hoping to set up business there?
Well, for us, and we have received approval from the U.S. government, which was a big threshold, and we're now waiting for approval from the Cuban government. But we have many clients across industries that are looking at the possibility of entering this market. And so for us, it's the ability to really provide on-the-ground assistance as our clients navigate these complex political waters. And there are lots of challenges, you know, that remain, and I think that over time will improve. I mean, for example, this is the first time that I've come to Cuba in my many trips in recent years, where I've been able to use my cell phone, and that is not a small achievement to the fact that the president's policies have included the ability for telecommunications companies from the U.S. to establish relationships here. There are many business leaders in the delegation that I'm with that are looking at the possibilities of doing business here, but, you know, it's still many of the businesses in the U.S. are not going to do it until they can employ Cubans directly, not through the government. And that's all in discussions, and they need to make sure that there are other conditions that are right. Many of them are waiting for approval from the Cuban government to move forward in the tourism industry, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot has to happen, but I think the momentum is all going in the right direction. And this visit is going to accelerate change for sure.
Mm. You mentioned that you do work with Friends of Caritas Cubana and have made many visits to Cuba to do humanitarian work with the organization over the years. Will humanitarian work change after this diplomatic milestone, in the wake of this diplomatic milestone?
It certainly will be made easier. For example, we contribute, I think it's now 50% or over, with the money we raise in the U.S., based in Boston, but also in New York and Miami and other places. We fund humanitarian programs throughout the island. It's been very difficult and challenging to get money here because there have been no banking relationships between the U.S. and Cuba. And so those kinds of transactions will be made easier by the very changes that the president announced last week. You know, part of the problem in Cuba from a humanitarian perspective is that the aging population is growing, and a lot of the youth have left, and so the humanitarian needs among the elderly, as well as just other needs, have grown exponentially, and Caritas certainly helps in that respect, and we hope that these measures will facilitate our ability to fund those programs.
Well, Michaud Spring, she's the Boston-based global chair of the public relations firm Weber Shandwick, and she's been talking to us from Havana, where she's part of a delegation of Cuban Americans invited by the White House on this day, President Obama's historic visit to Cuba. Michaud Spring, it's been a great pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's turn now to Congressman Seth Moulton, who represents the 6th District here in Massachusetts. He's part of the congressional delegation accompanying President Obama in Havana. And welcome back to Radio Boston, Representative Moulton. Good to have you.
It's great to be back. Thanks.
So we just heard Michaud Spring talking about the winds of change and the excitement on the part of the Cubans about President Obama's visit. What's your impression of this visit, of this day in particular so far?
Well, that's absolutely right. It's historic, and there are a lot of reasons why from a historical perspective. I mean, look, the first time in 88 years that a president has come to visit, that the first state dinner that we're going to have tonight. I mean, these are all very historic reasons why this day is meaningful. But this day for us has been defined by going out and walking around Havana and meeting Cubans, going into their shops, going into their restaurants, and watching so many of them line the roads as our congressional delegation goes past. You can see them yearning for the freedom and democracy that this visit represents.
And have you had interactions, sort of one-on-one interactions with folks in the streets? And if so, you know, what are you hearing? I mean, I take your point about that sense of yearning. I'm sure it's there. But what have you heard beyond that?
What I hear from most Cubans is that they want to do business with the United States. And I think many of them are yearning for the freedoms that we enjoy back at home, and they think that by having regular relations with America, they can help accomplish that. You know, the fact of the matter is that the embargo was set up with good reason. I mean, the communist regime here is oppressive. It's been terrible for the people. I mean, you can see how the economy has stagnated. We went past slums where we were told people make on average of $20 a month, $20 a month. Sometimes per family and living in these slums. But the embargo hasn't worked because here it's been over 50 years. The Castros are still in charge and communism still reigns. So it's time for a change of policy. And I think that when you see the changes, the momentum that started here, not only with this visit, but with the diplomatic relations that have been going on under President Obama in the last few years, with the cell phone coverage, with more American tourists coming in, with restaurants opening up, you can see things moving in the right direction. And this is ultimately what we need to do to bring change to the Cuban people.
Now, President Obama said today in remarks to the press after he met with Raul Castro that the embargo will be lifted, but that's more easily said than done. What are the obstacles that remain for fully restoring full relations between these two countries?
Well, I hate to say it, but most of the obstacles are political because it's up to us in Congress to vote on to releasing the embargo. And what I've heard from my Republican colleagues on this trip is that many Republicans know that this is the right thing to do, that our policy has failed. It hasn't led to regime change down here in Cuba. The best thing we can do, not just for America, but for the Cuban people, is to lift the embargo. But they probably won't do it before the presidential election is over because Republicans in Congress don't want to give a win to President Obama.
Right. Well, that sort of that's the nature of politics in Washington, particularly these days. I want to ask you about something else that President Obama heard, and we heard this on the top of the show. He talked about that Cuba's destiny will not be decided by the U.S. or other nations. But critics, and many of them among your Republican colleagues, will point out that Cuba still treats political opponents harshly. So how does the U.S. balance that commitment to let Cuba decide its own fate, but also to pressure it to make political reforms?
Well, I think that what the president is fundamentally saying is that our policy of trying to force change by instituting this embargo, essentially putting a wall up between our countries, hasn't worked. And so we're not going to change things by forcing things on the Cuban regime or the Cuban people. But I think that he knows that by opening relations with them, by allowing people from America, from Massachusetts, as so many of my constituents have said they want to do, come down here and visit, the people exchanges, the doing business here with Cuban, opening up the Cuban economy to the free market systems that we know and value so dearly in America, that will bring about the change that we ultimately want for the Cuban people, and I think fundamentally the change that the Cubans want themselves.
Seth Moulton, you're one of the co-sponsors, if I understand this correctly, of the Freedom to Travel to Cuba Act. Tell us a little bit about that. What would that do?
Well, what it means is that people will be able to get on a plane in Massachusetts and come down and visit Cuba, and they won't have to be a part of some special education group or travel through some other country in order to get here. They'll be able to travel to Cuba just like we're able to travel to Florida or Washington, D.C., or any of the other Caribbean nations. And that will make a big difference down here for the Cuban people, because right now tourism is a lifeblood of the economy, but it's severely restricted. And so all these shop owners that we met this afternoon when Congressman McGovern and I went out shopping, we actually broke off from the regular tour group and we went out shopping on our own. And those shop owners that we met, you know, there weren't too many Americans coming in the shops. Well, that could change overnight if people could come down from Massachusetts. When I was talking to people in my district the past couple of days before coming down here, I mean, everybody was saying, you know, Seth, can I come along with you? I mean, I want to go to Cuba too. Well, there's a yearning there for people in Massachusetts and across America to come and visit. And again, that will be helpful to the people of Cuba.
And beyond just the desire of regular folks in Massachusetts to travel down there, what about businesses up here? I mean, are you aware of sort of numbers of businesses or ways that Massachusetts might benefit from that person-to-person exchange or that state-to-nation exchange, I guess?
Well, Massachusetts knows the tourism industry well. It's something that's very important to us, especially in the summer. There are tremendous tourism opportunities down here. Massachusetts is one of the leaders in high tech, and Cuba has been shut off from the high tech economy. So, you know, I'm a cell phone right now with data service that I haven't seen in America for 10 or 15 years. It's way out of date. So there's a lot of potential to bring technology down here. There's also potential for work with the biomedical industry. You know, Cuba actually has a good healthcare system, but they haven't benefited from the tremendous advances that we see coming out of the biotech industry in Massachusetts. So there's a lot of economic potential down here, and it's really an untapped market that would be beneficial to America, but I think especially to Massachusetts.
Before I let you go, Seth, I just want to ask you to anticipate a little bit what President Obama will say tomorrow. He's expected to address the Cuban people in a speech tomorrow. What do you think he's going to say?
Well, I don't know for sure, but I think he's trying to strike a careful balance between, you know, saying what we all want him to say about freedom and democracy and really, you know, criticizing the Cuban regime for oppressing the Cuban people over the last several decades, but also not doing too much to antagonize them so as to disrupt this momentum that we see going forward. You know, we'd all like to come out and just say, you guys need to change your ways of business overnight. But we know that it's through the people-to-people exchange, through the economic exchange, that that's likely, more likely to happen over time. So I think that that's the balance that the president is going to try to strike, to push the Cubans to want the kind of change that we represent in America and push the Cuban leadership to allow that change to happen, but not push them too far that they push back against the momentum that's already started by this visit.
All right. Fascinating times. Congressman Seth Moulton, he represents the 6th District up here in Massachusetts. He joined us from Havana, Cuba, where he's part of President Obama's congressional delegation. Seth Moulton, thanks so much. Always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, a key senator speaks out against legalizing marijuana in Massachusetts. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.